Well, can I say how well we've all been doing singing? Well done, everyone, particularly that last time. And thank you, Choir and Matthew, for all the anthems and the descants. Now, despite the hike in the cost of second-class stamps, there seems to be no shortage of Christmas cards being sent and received. And I suppose that's because we like to keep in touch with people. Now, always a good number of the ones that I receive are of snowmen or robins or nice family portraits of the people who sent me the card. And although this is Jesus' birthday we're celebrating, there's nothing about Jesus in the cards at all. However, a good number of the religious ones aren't much better, because they often portray the Christmas stories as kind of untrue or irrelevant. For instance, you get, don't you, those reproductions of the great masters where the stable looks like a kind of 13th century holiday cottage. The baby Jesus is at least 9 months, very round and chubby. Mary looks like she's just been for a stroll, rather than having just given birth. And Joseph seems completely unfazed that all these strangers keep on coming in and offering gifts. And then on top of it all, there's a whole zoo of fluffy cows, donkeys, and sheep, surrounded by sort of unreal, ethereal glow. And there's also a kind of collection of dinner plates behind each person's head, which makes them, I suppose, look holy. Now, the paintings may be lovely, but the impression is given that this is all just a medieval myth. I don't know anyone with a golden dinner plate walking around their head, do you? And what is more, it's just about the birth of a baby. Now, if anyone knows me, you know that I love babies. I get very excited when babies are born. We've had a wonderful glut of babies being born recently. And I love having the cuddles. I love cooing them. I go weak in the knees. Although I'm a big man, I love the babes. But I tell you... Sorry. That's a great quote for next Christmas, what the vicar says. Make sure that it's in context. But I have to say, I don't get too excited by babies who were born long ago. And the baby whose birth we're celebrating tonight was born 2,000 years ago. And it asks the question, what relevance does all this have for me living in Maidenhead in the 21st century? Well, those two readings we've just had from Luke's Gospel explain the relevance. Luke is a historian. He sets out his credentials in the opening verses of his gospel, and many secular historians with no Christian axe to grind will readily acknowledge that Luke proves himself to be reliable again and again and again. Luke assures us that what he's writing about is not myth or legend, but historical fact. He says that these events took place during the reign of Caesar Augustus, while a chap called Quirinius was governor of Syria. And what is striking is that Luke isn't at all interested in Jesus' actual birth. There's no description of the baby or anything like that. He simply says, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. Now, Luke couldn't be more matter of fact about the birth, could he? No, his interest in what this birth means, which is why he goes straight away to tell us in much greater length about the angels appearing to the shepherds. And on the passage, on the service sheet, you've got the bits I want to concentrate on that. Verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Well, they would be, wouldn't they? Now, when you hear the word angel, please forget those images we have of feminine-looking men with golden hair and wings. The word angel simply means messenger. An angel is a messenger from God. And this angel, spiritual, says to the shepherds, look, do not be afraid, because I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Can I say that if you thought of Christianity as something which is boring and irrelevant, then you can't have understood it. Because according to Luke, it's good news of great joy. If you thought of Christianity as something which is fine for other people, but not for me, then again, you can't have understood it. Because it's good news of great joy for all people. Everyone. What is this good news of great joy for all people about? Well, the angel goes on to tell the shepherds. Today, in the town of David, a savior, a rescuer has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. The good news is about an amazing rescue. I wonder whether you have ever been rescued. My brother one summer was cutting the grass with his electric lawnmower in bare feet. He went to pull the flex from the machine. When the plastic casing came away in his hands, he found him grasping the live wires. The shock was so great that he dislocated his shoulder. In fact, it went the wrong way than it normally does. Apparently, that's what happens if you can have a very severe electric shock. And he was unable to let go of the wires or shout for help. And there he was, absolutely helpless. And within a few minutes, he would have died if his wife hadn't just been passing by the door and saw him writhing in silent agony. She pulled the wires from his hand, actually getting a shock herself as she did so. And he was saved. Friends, that was a day of great joy for my family. My brother faced a certain death and was rescued. Well, our predicament might not seem quite so urgent as my brother's was, but the truth is, it is no less serious. See, the Bible makes it clear that we are all, by nature, in big trouble with God. Because all of us, however we show it, have a bad attitude towards God. We don't want the Creator God telling us how to run our lives. And so we ignore him. We in effect say to God, look, push off and leave me alone. And we can't expect to treat God that way and get away with it. For God is not like some sort of weak school teacher or corrupt judge. He is the living God. And he will punish all such rebellion. What I'm describing is what the Bible calls sin. It's not just the stuff that fills the tabloid newspapers. It's actually about, at its heart, our attitude to God. Imagine a man who owns his own business. And he has two junior directors working for him. One day the boss says, look, I'm off to China on business for 2 months, and I would like you two to run the company for me while I'm away. I'll keep in touch with you by email and text, and I want you to keep me posted with how things are going. So off he goes to China. Now, the two junior directors behave very differently while the boss is away. One of them rolls in late every morning. Sometimes he's still drunk from the night before. He sexually harasses the female staff. He makes kind of fraudulent claims on his expenses. It is obvious to everyone that he is a disgrace and that he's letting his boss down. But the other director is quite different. He dresses very smartly. He arrives on time. From all appearances, everybody thinks that he's a charming chap. He treats his colleagues with respect, and even at Christmas time, gives them a party and a bonus. What nobody realizes is that he has never read any of his boss's emails, nor has made any attempt to keep in contact. When it comes to his boss, his attitude is just like the other junior director. He's operating the business solely for his own benefit. See, the two men behave very differently, but actually their attitude to the managing director are the same. And that's how it is with us. Some of us may know that we have lived in a disgraceful way and have failed and offended God in many ways and at times. Others of us look fine on the outside, may even get to church. But the truth be known, we've all treated God just as badly. But the good news of great joy, which is for all people, is that a Savior has been born. And he is Christ the Lord. Jesus was born to deal with the problem of our sin. He was born to be our Savior. That's why Joseph was told, you are to give him the name Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. He'll rescue them. And Jesus achieved that great rescue. Not as a little baby. A baby rescued no one. That's why Luke doesn't spend much time on the baby. No, it was the adult Jesus who rescued us. And he did it as he hung on a Roman cross outside the city walls of Jerusalem. Because on the cross, Jesus bore the punishment for your and my rebellion. Now, for those who know that they have not treated God properly, this is the most wonderful news. Shepherds in our day usually get good press. They're like farmer Arthur Hoggett in the film Babe. That one, by the way, is about a pig. You know, they are kind of good, solid, dependable sort of people. But at the time of Jesus, they were actually, shepherds were considered irreligious rogues. The sort who would never darken the doors of a church and actually would have had no desire to do so. And it is to those people whom God makes this great announcement. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, he says. Yeah, to you, shepherds, he's been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you, he tells them. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. An extraordinary sign, isn't it, that the Christ, the King, the rescuer has come, is that you're going to find him living as a pauper. This babe, who should be received as a king, actually, in cloths, in rags, lying in a manger, because there hasn't been any room for him in an inn. He's in a feeding trough. This is the most extraordinary news. We have treated the God who made us with utter indifference. We human beings have wrecked the wonderful world he made. But instead of destroying us, God sends his eternal son to be born of a woman so that he might grow up to die on a cross to save us. No wonder then that the angel is suddenly joined by a whole army of other messengers who praise God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. The spiritual beings that live with God cannot contain their joy and wonder at what God is doing for us human beings. Well, what is our response to this? Well, if we are a skeptic or are very confused about the Christian message, I hope your response will be that like that of the shepherds. See, they said, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. What those shepherds did was they went to check it out. See, the Christian invitation is to come and see. It's never to kind of put your brain to one side and shut your eyes and believe. So if you haven't already done so as an adult, do pick up a gospel. You'll find some copies at the back. If you'll read one, take it away and read the rest of the story. And you'll see that Luke spends no time on the babe. He's interested in the one who came to rescue people like you and me. You might also like to join our Christianity Explore course, which meets on Sunday mornings beginning in January, and January the 13th, and there are details on this card if you're interested at the back. But there'll be many of us who have heard and investigated, and in doing so, we have met in a real but spiritual way the risen Lord Jesus Christ for ourselves. And our response is to be also to be like the shepherds. Because after they had gone into the town and seen that what they had been told was true, well, they just couldn't keep the good news to themselves. They had to tell other people. And we read that they went on their way glorifying God. So if you have come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then whatever you do this Christmas and the New Year, keep him right at the center. And by your trust and obedience, as well as by your singing, glorify the God who literally loved you to death. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for your generosity and love for us in sending Jesus into the world to be our rescuer, our Savior. May we be those who do not ignore this precious gift, but receive it with joy as we understand not only who Christ is, but what he did for us, because we ask this in his name.